Many people thought the Share Your Embarrassment tour was over, but it was just dormant. We are really excited to announce that right now, tickets are on sale for the streaming Cyboctacular. We filmed our Hollywood show last year, and it's going to be streaming starting May 16th and available for a couple of weeks after that to anyone that holds a ticket. And if you have a Max Fun membership, you can get your ticket at a discount. Just check your inbox for an email for Max Fun with that code. If you aren't and would like to see the show, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets today. These shows are really fun. We put a lot of work into high-quality production values. And if you get a VIP ticket, we can even meet face-to-face over the internet. Get your tickets today at greatestgentour.com, and we'll see you on May 16th.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm your host, Adam Pranica.
I am also your host. My name is Benjamin R. Harrison.
Ben, we keep getting gifts in the mail.
Do we now?
And I feel like the best thing to do is to talk about them when they arrive.
Yeah, we made that mail drop, and maybe that can be used for this also.
Yeah, we might as well use it for stuff other than hate mail.
Captain, I'm sorry to disturb you.
I'm receiving a code 47.
Verify.
It is code 47, sir. Starfleet emergency frequency.
Captain's eyes only.
A little while ago, Max Fun emailed us, and they're like, hey, we keep getting packages sent here for you. Where do you want it to go? And that really, like, email is an emotionless form of communication, but that was really the vibe, was frustration, antipathy.
Mm.
These are the things that I read in this email. And I was like, yeah, send it to me. That sounds great. So I just opened this package bin.
Yeah.
And you are not on camera. Because if you were, you would see an action figure.
What?
For Mordok, the Benzite.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they made an action figure of him.
Mr. Chaotic Bro himself.
Yeah, and that's the original Chaotic Bro, right? That's not the Chaotic Bro Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, that's not Mendak. Mendon.
Mendon.
Yeah, that was Mendon. This is Mordok, the OG.
Nice.
The OG vapor. And he has kung fu vaping action. He's got the whole thing.
I was out at a family dinner not that long ago with a cousin of my wife's, and a bunch of my cousin's friends came along, and one of them wanted to tell me about his vaping app that he was working on developing.
No.
It was one of those, like curb your enthusiasm, this is my life moments where I just, like, I'm going to be sitting in this corner booth, like, trapped with uncles and cousins on all sides, and everybody's talking to somebody else, and I'm talking to the guy who's trying to make it big as a vape app developer.
I'm going to do something right now on mic that will either horrify or amuse some people, Ben. I want you to listen very carefully. I've opened the action figure. I've opened him right up because I want Mordok to be on my desk, staring at me at all times.
The only action... I used to have an action figure of myself as a Vulcan, but then I knocked it over and it broke in a million pieces because it was 3D printed.
Oh.
The only action figure I currently have in my life is a Pee Wee Herman action figure. He sits on my desk and looks at me while I do work.
I love that.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll just turn to him going, I know you are, but what am I?
This package, Ben, did not come with a return address or a name. Otherwise, I would thank this person individually.
Well,
but
that's sort of
whoever
like
you are out there, I really appreciate the gift. And you should know, whoever you are, that Mordok is in a place of honor, watching me work at all times. Probably keeping his criticisms to himself until such a time that the time is right for him to tell me that there's a major problem that I should be addressing.
Yeah. That that no return address thing is a bit like the trading cards that somebody sent in. They sent in a huge collection. It was probably like their entire childhood collection, and they're really cool, and I enjoy looking at them all the time. But they never said who they were, so I just have to appreciate that we have them, I guess.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, strangers.
So, with that bit of gratitude done, let's turn the page towards an episode on a different emotional spectrum. As we talk about Season 5, Episode 3, Ensign Row.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
So this one opens up with Picard getting his hair cut by the Chatty Cathy bullion barber.
He's in Starfleet Supercuts.
Yeah, totally in Starfleet Supercuts. And there's a real Spock-looking guy in soft focus in the background. Did you see that guy?
No.
There's like another person in there getting his hair cut by a human. And ever so often the camera goes to an angle where you can see this Vulcan also getting a haircut, which I love. I love the idea of a Vulcan, like, needing to go in for a trim. They get such severe haircuts. That must take a ton of maintenance.
There's something really satisfying about thinking of a future where service industry jobs still exist.
Yeah.
You know, and the people who work those jobs are just people who love doing them.
Yeah, this guy is a real extrovert. He's picked a job that is got some adventure in that it is stationed on the Enterprise, but he gets to be a people person.
Could you fucking imagine? You are a barber on the flagship. Like, yeah. That's got to be the greatest job ever.
And you got a rep, right? Riker says he's the best barber in the fleet.
It's true. You know what? While we're on the subject of Riker, this is two straight episodes where Riker seems real crabby.
I said, shut up!
Are you picking up on that at all? Is it just because we're binging the episodes that it's more noticeable?
Maybe. Maybe he's still a little butthurt that he didn't really get anything to do in episodes 1 or 2 of Redemption.
Yeah, that's understandable. He got his big two-parter, though.
Fire.
Yeah. I mean, Riker at this point is a character. I would say that the order of starhood on this show definitely is Picard is the star, and then, like, Data and Worf are secondary stars, and Riker is now hanging out in the tertiary star position with Beverly and Troy and Geordi.
Works for me. So Picard is growing more and more irked by, you know, Mott's doing that thing where he's assuming a familiarity with a superior that doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
And you can see it all over Picard's face. He doesn't want to talk about the missions. He doesn't even really want to talk at all. And he doesn't even really want to get a haircut, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean,
why is he there?
I don't know. Don't they have, like, a robot that can do this?
Sure seems that way.
I don't know why it's a job. This is, like, Picard feels how I feel when I get a haircut, though. I don't want to talk to anybody. You know?
Yeah, you just want a brown beverage and a chill.
Yeah, like, fucking talk to the other barbers or something. Leave me alone. I don't want to tell you what I do for work. I don't want to tell you why I'm getting my haircut today. I don't even really want to tell you how I want my haircut.
Well, I'm sure they really love you down at Sport Clips, Ben.
Yeah, Sport Clips always has great brown beverages.
Yeah. You seem like that type that would bring your own.
Yeah, I got a little hip flask with me.
So Krabby Riker gets Picard off the hook with a communication. He's like, hey, I got some news. You better haul ass back to the bridge. And Picard cannot wait to leave the barber's chair.
Nothing I love more than a distress signal.
Yeah.
And even that gets some commentary from Mr. Mott the Barber. Have you ever had a bald barber, Adam? Bullions
no.
seem to be a hairless race.
Yeah, they're like dolphins.
You don't see bullions with a bunch of hair.
They're a race of talkers, though.
Yeah.
Which is what makes them uniquely qualified for that job.
They should hang out with the Elorians. That's like a match made in heaven.
I love that that barbershop culture in the 24th century still has the idea of the pole. You know, like there's that symbol in the background for the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
It's the communicator with the, like, the ribbon around it.
Yeah.
That is just the universal sign of barber, isn't it?
Yeah. Hundreds of years in the future, they're still referencing when barbers were surgeons and would wrap bloody rags around posts outside their tents on the battlefield.
Do you think Mott keeps his combs in Six Bay in the barbicide jars?
He has to go down there.
Yeah.
Hey Dr. Crusher, just grabbing my stuff.
I mean, it's sort of a pain in the ass, but he likes the walk.
Do you think that they've gotten, like, real hipstery and, like, some people like the throwback nature of a barber surgeon and will prefer that over a trained medical practitioner?
I don't know. I think everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Do you think some people ask for the Seinfeld?
Q definitely does, right?
A little bit longer in the back. Yeah.
Does Q need a haircut?
I don't want to be a Seinfeld.
Well,
Q cuts his own hair, obviously. That's when you can tell that someone's depressed, is when they cut their own hair. So word on the street is when Picard gets to the bridge that a settlement has been destroyed by some Bajoran terrorists.
Yeah.
This is a very important settlement because... it's sort of in a place near Cardassian space.
Yeah.
And so they need to proceed with caution here.
There's a lot of delicacy around the Cardassian peace treaty, you know, especially after that stunt Ben Maxwell pulled. We've only seen the Cardassians like one or two other times, right? Have we seen them other than the Ben Maxwell episode?
I don't think so.
I think that's the only other time that we've seen Cardassians.
God, O'Brien's just got to be thrilled again. His life sucks right now.
Yeah. Well, they get this news that this settlement has been raised, and they get some audio transmission from Bajoran terrorists claiming responsibility, and that's our push to title sequence. When we come back, the Enterprise is pulling into a big orbital starbase.
Probably the most dangerous thing they could be doing.
Right. It's like, well, it seems like things are not going well, so let's go risk the ship getting hijacked or destroyed or compromised in some other way.
So on the starbase, Picard has a little sit-down with an admiral. And again, this is a moment for him to mend fences with the Admiralty in Starfleet.
Well, he had that one decent interaction with the Admiralty in episode 1 of season 5, but generally speaking, Picard and the Admiralty are not pals.
If we're talking about in totality, like if we're looking at a pie chart of good moments with admirals and bad moments with admirals, I think the part of the pie on the negative spectrum is going to be bigger.
Yeah. So this guy has a bit of a head cold, and his vibe with Picard is pretty adversarial, but I think that Picard is trying to make good, so he basically eats every plate of shit that Admiral Kennelly puts under his nose. And the plates of shit are these. Picard's mission is going to be to go make contact with this Bajoran terrorist known as Orta, and... bring him back to discuss this terrorism situation with Starfleet by any means necessary. And on top of that, Picard has had an ensign attached to the mission by orders of Admiral Kennelly. And this ensign is known as Ensign Roe. She has a rep. She is the bad girl of Starfleet.
She basically shows up in a leather jacket smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as she beams on board, everything about her reads as different. And yeah. not in a cartoonishly pronounced sort of way. Like, thus begins Michelle Forbes' appreciation cast with your host, Adam Pranica.
Yeah, I mean, I love how they do this, right? Like they cut to Riker in the transporter bay, and he's got like a real, he's, you know, you could tell that he's getting ready to do some leaning. He's got displeasure painted on his face, and he's radioing up Picard to say like, why is this person being beamed on board the ship? There must be some mistake, and like everybody is talking about Ro Laren, like she's the most notorious person there is, and she plays the part, but we don't know how notorious until we cut out of the scene with Admiral Kennelly going, it was really tough getting her out of prison for this.
You'd be temporarily reinstated in the forces, and if the mission's successful, there may be a presidential pardon.
Yeah, at first you just think it's a bad attitude and a scowl,
yeah.
But it turns out, like, she did some seriously bad shit.
Yeah. It's fun stuff. She also beams aboard wearing some, like, Hot Topic costume jewelry, and Riker is having none of that. Like, he's going to let it slide with Worf, but not with somebody who's coming straight out of the brig to go on this mission. So,
this surprises me, and I guess I haven't noticed in other crew members the whole lack of dangly jewelry, but I guess working on a starship is like working in a factory. Like, you don't want anything to get caught in a machine, right?
There's been plenty of times where super magnets could have, you know, caused some really serious damage, and they'd have to roll back that banner that hangs on the bridge that counts how many days it's been since an accident.
Data basically is jewelry by that rule, though.
Yeah, and what about Too Chaotic, Too Bro? He was walking around the ship the whole time with a vape on his face.
Yeah, I think what's happening here is that as the XO, Riker is picking and choosing how strongly to enforce codes of all kinds. And with one Ro Laren, as Picard pronounces it, Ro Laren.
Ro Laren.
Ro Laren.
Ro Laren.
He's going to be particularly by the book with her.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a long game thing with Riker. Like he's looking to bed this lovely lady, and he's decided that he's going to go big dog with his opening volley.
You will follow Starfleet uniform code aboard this ship, Ensign.
It's weird. Like Riker only has two speeds with women he doesn't know or who might be quote unquote headstrong. Like either he turns into a total flirt or he Shelbys them.
Yeah.
And he's giving Ro the Shelby treatment here big mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. But she has a lot less. I mean, even though she is coming with the blessing of an admiral, she has a lot less woofy than Shelby ever did.
Right.
So, so their mission is going to be to go figure out what's popping with these terroristic Bajorans, and they have a McLaughlin group, and they're
issue one.
Discussing like what the right strategy is, and they're like, well, there's this great Bajoran that, you know, he shows up at all of the conferences that we always go to on shuttlecrafts by ourselves. We love this guy, and he seems like a real good hang, and openly contemptuous in the corner, and this McLaughlin group. Ro is like, listen, like that guy is the like warm and fuzzy Bajoran that they roll out for the Federation. No real Bajorans give a fuck what that guy thinks. He's not a leader. He's not somebody that anybody like throws their support behind when the chips are down.
Yeah, he's like a figurehead. He doesn't have any real power.
Mm-hmm.
And Ro's like, look, if you want someone with real power, I'll take you to the guy.
Yeah, Ro's like, the guy you want to meet has like Bob Ross hair. he's not the cleaned up Bajoran that they send to conferences. He's a funkier Bajoran than that even.
Yeah. For as resistant to her presence as everyone is supposed to be. Like, Picard asks her advice, and she gives it, and then Picard takes her advice for action.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Picard is not super stoked about this mission, but he's a company man, you know?
Like, yeah.
He's gonna do the job that he's been given. If Admiral Kennelly wants him to shovel shit, he's gonna shovel shit until Admiral Kennelly says stop.
It is the guiding principle of a Starfleet base. Have you not find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth? You don't deserve to wear that uniform.
Ro and a Dustbuster Club beam down to this planet to meet up with Bajor and Bob Ross.
Yeah, Kiva is the guy's name in the show, but we know him to be Bajor and Bob Ross. And
one of the first things Ro does is pull off her uniform as if, like, she's a stripper cop pulling off a uniform made of Velcro. Like, she rips off her jacket and sticks it on a little girl.
Yeah, suns out, guns out, Adam.
Yeah.
There's some fun continuity in this because she's got the good...
Yeah, her communicator magically appears underneath.
Yeah, and she's also got, like, she's got the good uniform with the zipper in the back, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you see,
yeah,
like, extras get the zipper in the front uniform. She's got the one with the zipper in the back, but when she kneels down, that uniform opens up front-wise, and also her communicator, yeah, like must beam itself onto her inner blouse because... She does not move it herself.
Picard plays this scene cool because he's seen magic like that before and and does nothing when he sees it. So yeah. I think Ro might be more powerful than we can imagine at this point.
Yeah. This is like a scene that gets cut from a David Blaine special because the reaction wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Like the trick is really impressive, but nobody reacted in a way that's really like emotionally affecting.
The whole away team should be running away. It's so amazing.
Yeah, the whole away team should be Harrison Ford like kicking her out of their house.
Dustbuster Club react.
So yeah, this is a settlement of pores, and it's rare to see poor folk in this show. Like, these are people that are really living on the edge. You can tell there's straw all over the ground. There's unsupervised children running all over the place.
There's some dirty faces.
Mm-hmm. And Kiva's a real dick to them at first. Like, he's a prickly dude and he talks a lot of shit. But the second Ro Laren kind of throws some attitude back at him, he turns over real quick, and Picard's like, hey, we'll beam down like every single thing that you need because it's no big deal, we have replicators, and everybody's gonna get a blanket, Worf's gonna figure out anything else you might need, you guys got that stuff too. And the guy's like, well, that's great, like, let me know whenever you need help.
It's weird that they stick Worf on this duty. It's a real save the children type scene down there.
Do you think that when Bajorans, like especially Bajoran men, are looking at their own loaf and then they look at Worf's loaf, they get real, like, real self-conscious around Worf?
They get big loafed?
Yeah. It becomes a real loaf measuring contest.
It's got to be amazing to get a replicator in that circumstance, right?
Yeah.
That changes everything.
I know.
Hey, a word of advice, guys. Maybe replicate a broom.
So the next scene is in 10 forward, and Ro is having a Negroni and trying to have as bitter a personality as her drink. Mm. And Geordi's over in the corner talking shit about Ro to Guinan, and Guinan's like, I love people that get shit talked about them. I'm going to go hang out with this chick. And so she kind of like shames Geordi, you know?
Good.
Yeah.
Geordi's a dick.
Yeah, Geordi's being a real shithead. One of the most unlikable things that Geordi has done, and that's saying a lot.
God, his monument to bad decisions is mighty.
Yeah. So Guinan goes and she and Ro have a little conversation. Guinan is basically not taking no for an answer on becoming buddies with Ro. This is just a scene about establishing that, you know, Ro is intentionally putting up walls around herself, and Guinan doesn't fuck with that shit. She's going to be friends whether Ro likes it or not.
She's going to use her bar gun to shoot right through those walls.
Indeed.
And you can see it crack Ro a little bit. And this is one of a few examples in this episode where the subtlety of Michelle Forbes' acting is apparent. Like, yeah. She can't just start beaming at how cute Guinan's being with her. She's got to play it cool, and she does.
Yeah. I mean, it's a subtly written scene too. It's like it's a nice piece of script to sink your teeth into as an actor, because what you want is not necessarily what's good for your character, and that's always a tricky thing to play, I think.
I get the feeling that she is hanging on to her character as hard as the character itself is hanging on to her story. Like, it seems like she is so in control of every moment. Mm-hmm. And like every space in between lines of dialogue is so intentional that, I don't know, it just makes for a really strong performance.
Indeed.
I think if you miscast Ro, like, you blow the episode here. It, absolutely. Like, she carries the whole weight.
Yeah. They're like, we're going to need somebody that can have Detroit hair show hair and still put on a pretty good performance. That's the level of actor we need.
Look, and I don't want to disparage Canadian cute, but like, you can't cast Canadian cute for this part.
No.
Michelle Forbes is fucking hard.
Yeah.
But with a soft side.
She does a nice job.
Yeah.
So this scene ends with her having to run off to her bedroom and take a FaceTime from Admiral Kennelly.
Everything is going exactly as you predicted, Admiral.
Which is the first sign we've had that something more is afoot than meets the eye. And this is like not a subtle scene, you know. It's just like, it's like, your evil plan is working, sir.
Yeah, Kennelly's doing everything but pet a white cat, you know.
My love is a fever, long in jail for that which longer nurseth the disease.
The next stop is meeting with Orta, the terrorist leader. And Picard and his Dustbuster Club meet up in the transporter room, and they're like, well, Ensign Ro is super late. And they ask the computer where she is, and it turns out she beamed down to meet with Orta 6 hours ahead of everybody else. She got a real jump on the day. And they beamed
down. It's sort of a Shelby move, isn't it?
Yeah. Not un-Shelby-like. They beam down, and this is the first set of styrofoam caves we've had in a long time. I missed styrofoam caves.
Yeah, me too.
I might be wrong, but I feel like they become a bigger part of the show from here on in.
Yeah.
Like, this is a really good styro cave set that they built, and they're like, let's just keep this around in case we ever want to write other things that are happening underground in rock.
Through with castles.
Yeah.
Caves are the thing.
Yeah, caves are the way of the future. So they're looking around. They make the classic horror movie mistake of splitting up, and wouldn't you know it, they all get captured, and out comes Bajoran Bane.
Welcome, Captain Picard. I see you found me. Do you like the way my voice is being modified? The Cardassians tortured me. You will get tortured by Cardassians later, but I have already been tortured by Cardassians.
Yeah, he does a nice long reveal. Like, he's wearing sort of a wrap mm-hmm. around his face. A wrap made of clothing, not of tortilla. He opens it up and he reveals this big scar across half of his face, and also a little button on his throat that gives him machine voice.
Yeah. Adam, I think this is a great time to talk about the fact that wraps are, if you can believe it, even worse than cold sandwiches as a food.
I disagree. I like a wrap. I don't want all that bread weighing me down. I need pure power.
That is a terrible food, Adam. A cold tortilla is one of the worst things I can imagine eating. I would much rather open a wrap up and dump it out and eat it as a salad.
I'm a disgusting person for saying this, but sometimes I'll like save half of the burrito for the next day. I'll just eat that shit cold.
I'm into that. But that's
the cold tortilla.
But that tortilla has been through some shit. That tortilla has marinated in the juices. A wrap doesn't marinate. That's a dry cold tortilla. Bad news bears.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I disagree. I'm down. Put it in your cup holder. You're good for driving.
I have to eat wraps all the time because they're like one of the most ubiquitous free foods. And in the film and television production business, free food is a major part of your landscape.
Yeah.
And often you don't have a choice of what lunch is.
Yeah.
Fucking hate
wraps. Get yourself a wrap from Crafty.
Give me a slice of pizza any day of the week. Give me a cold sandwich before you give me a wrap. And I don't even like cold sandwiches.
Dude, that is where you are capital R wrong, Ben. If I ever see fucking pizza on a craft services table, fuck that.
I'm so much happier seeing pizza than a wrap.
You want to see people in intestinal distress, all farty and greasy after eating some pizza? No thanks.
Maybe it's
not on one of my
sets,
pal.
Maybe it's different in New York, but the pizza here is good.
A lot has been written about how pizza has no place on a film set, Ben. I'm going to send you some academic papers on the subject.
I went to film school. I've read them. I'm just saying it's better than a wrap. I'm not saying it's the ideal craft services food.
You know what? Don't you ever fucking say that to me again. Mister, I went to film school. Oh, great. Adam and Ben are fighting again.
Well,
I went to film school.
I am the cutest of all. There are four lights.
Ro Laren gets in big, big trouble with Picard because, you know, this situation with Bane doesn't go as bad as they had thought, but... You know, like they find out that Bane was not in fact behind the terrorist attack, and he, you know, implies to Picard that maybe somebody is using Picard, and it's not the mission he thought it was. But they come back, and Picard is ripshit with Ro Laren for defying orders. Like, even though what she did got him some very valuable new information, the way she did it was no good. So she gets grounded.
He has the scene with her that Riker has with Shelby in the turbo lift. Mm-hmm. He needs to jerk the chain.
Yep.
And he does, real hard.
Yeah, and when she gets grounded, she goes back to her quarters, and this is the obvious moment that Guinan would show up. So, sure enough, Guinan does. And this is a really nice scene, because Guinan and Ro talk about, like, how helpless it feels to... have lost everything. Like, they've both been displaced from their homeworlds and have both had a really tough go of it. And I thought it was great. And it was like one of those scenes where you're like, this is going to get this episode onto the other side of the Bechdel test. This is great. And then the last line is basically Guinan saying, the only way to solve your problem is to make Jean-Luc Picard solve it for you.
I didn't interpret it that way.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's like what the scene is about, but it does like it does kind of kneecap the fact that it's just two women like having a real scene with each other. That the last line is the only thing you can really count on in this world is Jean-Luc Picard.
Well, it's not needing him because he's a man. It's needing him because he's the captain of the ship.
Well, that's the thing with the Bechdel test, right? It's not about it being the particular character. It's about the fact that women never have scenes where they're not talking about men.
Right. I like the scene a lot because it's another example of Guinan finding you when you need her.
Yeah.
It's like picking up a phone and someone has already called you and you didn't know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember when that used to happen?
I love that. Like, Guinan essentially uses her special relationship with Picard to give Ro a hall pass, and they go up to his ready room, and Ro is like, listen.
Admiral Kennelly came to me in prison and told me he'd arrange to get me out if I'd go on a mission.
I know that part.
No, sir, not this mission.
And I've been in touch with them this entire time, and I'm really sorry, I just didn't know who to trust. And Picard is like,
Admiral Kennelly would consider supplying weapons to the terrorists?
So they come up with a sneaky little plan, Adam.
Well, that's also the scene where Ro decides to disclose her past with the Cardassians in a long single shot of her monologuing about watching her dad being tortured to death. Mm-hmm. After being lured into a cave with some sugar candy.
Yeah.
It was award show awesome.
Yeah, it's a good... I think everybody comes out of this scene looking pretty solid.
Yeah.
Because it's also a scene... I mean, for as much as it's a scene about establishing, like, why Ro is so damaged and why she is motivated in the ways that she is... It's also about establishing Picard as heroic because he is true to his principles. You know, he has been asked to compromise on something pretty major and is not going to do it. And that's not going to be convenient for him. Like, he's definitely taking the harder path now, which is putting himself in direct opposition to orders that an admiral has given him.
This is such an example of how much more sophisticated the writing is this season and this episode specifically than it has been in the past, because with O'Brien's backstory with the Cardassians, you get the button on him that, like, he's ashamed of what he became because of the Cardassians. And that is a more or less predictable outcome for him given what he's been through. But for Rose Warner to conclude with her feeling ashamed that her dad wasn't stronger through torture, and like the fallout from that moment isn't that she was horrified at seeing her dad die, it was her own interpretation of his death that hollowed her out in the way that it did.
Yeah.
Was just like, it was better than this show usually gets with backstory. It's really great. And so
it makes the Cardassians so terrifying as a baddie.
You need her to be able to tell that story in a way that is terrifying, and she's able to do it. Like, you don't get a cutaway. You don't get some doodle-a-doots to a flashback. Like, all you get is her and a slow push, and it's enough.
Pretty good. So they come up with this plan, and what they're going to do is fly along the border with Cardassian space with this Bajoran cruiser, and it is heavily implied that Orta is on board this cruiser, and they're going to go to this other place with Orta, and as they do it, like, sure enough, some Cardassian cruisers fly up to them, and they're like, hey, we want to blow up that ship. Why don't you guys clear out so we can do it? And they have a little back and forth about it, and Picard radios it in to Admiral Kennelly, and Kennelly's like, you gotta let him do it, man. And Picard is like, well, isn't that interesting? Isn't it possible that what's going on now is a Cardassian thought maybe... you would help him get Orta because Orta has been a problem for the Cardassians, and you thought that it would be worth helping the Cardassians get Orta now that the Bajorans are also bombing Federation settlements. So Kennelly's like, yo, fuck you, man, just let them do their thing. And Picard's like, well, orders is
let
orders.
Let nature take its course.
Yeah. So they clear out. They let the Cardassians blow up the ship, and Kennelly FaceTimes up, and he's like, "Well, that went great," and Picard's like, "Oh, did it now?" And proceeds to explain to Kennelly that
no one was on board.
What are you talking about?
the Cardassians just blew up a ship that was empty. And there was no way the Bajorans could have been blowing up human settlements in other sectors because their ships are pieces of shit and don't even have warp capability. So Kennelly was a useful idiot to the Romulans, I guess. Or to the Cardassians, I guess.
Boy, there are some dire consequences for useful idiots, aren't there?
Yeah. So Kennelly basically gets caught with his pants down. And you got to hope that Captain Picard is like recording this whole thing on one of those pens that records the audio.
Yeah.
So that he can prove it later. Because
Well, what's great is like Kennelly's message comes in on priority one, which is normally supposed to be taken in private. And he's like, nah, like let's play it for the whole bridge crew.
Yeah. So Kennelly is embarrassed in front of everybody. And
then Ro and Picard on the button for the episode sort of joke about what prison cell he's going
to
be in.
We're not going to White Collar Resort Prison. No, no, no.
That was an interesting tone.
Yeah, yeah, because Ro is fresh out of prison, and they're speculating that Kennelly, in the wake of this little scandal, may be headed to the same pokey that she was just in. And this the episode ends with Picard kind of saying like, hey, listen, like you got a little bit of grit. You're a little rough around the edges, but I think you could be a pretty good officer. And if you want to hang out, if you want to stick on board the Enterprise, let me show you what's what. I think you could be a great officer. And Ro is like up for the challenge, you know?
Yeah, it's a nice ending. Feels good. Feels like Ro's going to stick around.
Fun times. Did you like this episode, Adam?
So much. One of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
I think this feels like a Data's Day amount of departure for the show in what it chooses to give power to.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've seen power demonstrated in a lot of ways, but mostly it's like at the end of a phaser or a Batleth. Like power recently has been Klingon ships and wide-eyed Gowron and stuff. but now we're seeing like Ro's power, which is like this intense, quiet power that is so different. Like it's posture power.
Yeah.
And it's like an economy of words that she uses. And like when I was growing up, like this was puberty show for me, you know? And like I super identified to a cranky young crewman who did not want to follow the rules. And so I really liked Ro as soon as I saw her, and I still do. I think she's one of the show's best characters.
Well, I think she's down to follow the rules as long as they stack up to her idea of what is just.
And yeah.
And that, I think, especially is a really like appealing idea as a puberty person.
Yeah. My question... One of the questions that came up for me while I was watching the show was, would her petulance have worked for Wesley? Hmm. If they wrote Wesley the way they wrote Ro, does he suddenly become a more interesting character? Like, if he is, instead of worshiping at the altar of Picard and so into the idea of the Federation and its mission, what if instead he's a little more... puberty about it? What if he is a little more petulant and resistant to the idea, and his arc instead becomes like being worn down into a great officer instead of wanting that to be the dream from the start? I think that would make him more interesting and less cloying and annoying.
That's sort of how the Kirk character is in the new movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is,
yeah, great call.
Fun to see that. Yeah, so I
there's just nowhere for him to grow. Getting back to Wesley, there's nowhere for him to grow if he already starts out on the team.
Yeah.
And this way with Ro, like, there is an arc set in motion here.
Yeah, and the more integrated she gets, the more interesting it gets because she is so different in terms of her foundational character motives than all of the other characters.
Yeah, what makes Wesley uninteresting is there's no conflict there, and with Ro... it's almost all there is.
Well, much like a petulant teenager, her one condition for staying on the ship and staying in Starfleet is she's got to be allowed to wear that Hot Topic jewelry.
Yeah, that bling, though. Picard looks at his own jacket and he's like, I've got action jacket. There's no reason why you can't put on some costume jewelry. We're all making weird costume decisions here. Let's do it. Did you like the episode, Ben?
I like it a lot. It's a great one.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I really like the Cardassian that wants to blow up the ship. Like, he doesn't have much to do, but they cast a really weird-looking guy. Like, you can tell he already looks weird without the loaf. And he's got a little bit of an accent. He's real scary, especially after that monologue from Ro about what the Cardassians did to her.
The Cardassians arch you in a way different way than the Romulans do.
Yeah.
They have, their dialogue is very similar, but their delivery is different enough that I just sort of like the Cardassians more. They don't sound evil. They sound more a matter of fact in a way that I find more respectable. I don't know. They're more straight ahead. Less of a chess match.
Adam, there is a little blinking light here that could only mean one thing. It's a Priority One message.
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental
income? Supplemental.
Supplemental.
Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone, could be enough to buy this ship.
Ben, we have one Priority One message this week. It is of a personal nature, and it's from your wife, and it's for sweet booze. Is it, like, your wife, Ben?
Not my wife.
All right. Maybe the message will illuminate this. Goes like this. Happy birthday, sweet booza. Tommy, Charlie, and I are so lucky to have you in our lives. You are an amazing father and a wonderful husband. Thanks for embracing your baldness so my childhood dream of being married to a hot bald man could come true. I love you, my Zadi. Wow.
You see, sometimes a father loses his hair in a predictable male pattern baldness, Rudy. You have to embrace the baldness or you don't get your pudding.
It's important to love people for the content of their character. Not whether or not they have hair.
Is that Martin Luther Bain Jr.?
Yeah. Oh, I have a feeling Bain is going to be a recurring character on our show. Happy to have him.
Yeah, welcome, Bain.
Now we got another Jumbotron here. This one is from Matt, and it's to Jenny. I know I'm not half the captain, diplomat, lawyer, fencer, bunk bed pilot, or bondage enthusiast as your first crush, JLP. What do you call that space Piccolo he plays in The Inner Light? There's no way you know, but he's better at that too. Even though I'm no JLP, thanks for letting me be your real doll for 18 years, and thanks, Adam and Ben, for our number one pod.
Aww.
Wow, that is heartfelt.
It's great to hear that a long-term relationship can survive the horror that is our podcast.
I think that my relationship is the exception that proves the rule, that nothing brings two people closer than The Greatest Generation.
Well put, Ben. Wow, how would you like your special person, your special lady in this case, to have had their first love be JLP.
Those are big shoes to fill. You know?
No kidding.
That is a. I mean, it's not an uncomplicated first sexual interest. given some of the darker jokes that this show has entertained. But,
I think one thing that Jenny knows for sure from her relationship with Matt that she wouldn't ever get from Picard is that Matt is, like, not uncomfortable around women and is okay expressing some feelings.
Yeah, Matt is a fully realized adult human male in many of the ways that Picard is not.
Matt, congratulations for finding your Vash here. Good job by you.
Yeah, nice one.
If you have a happy birthday message or otherwise For the people in your life, you can go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, where personal messages are $100, company messages are $200, and they help us with the production of our show. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Who is your drunk Shimoda for this episode?
Drunk Shimoda!
My drunk Shimoda in this episode is the actor who plays Admiral Kennelly. Because for all of the great performances we get in this episode, from Bajoran Bob Ross to that weird Cardassian guy to Michelle Forbes to Guinan to Picard, this guy is given a lot to do and is caught dead to rights. You know, he is caught with the smoking gun at the end of this episode, and his last take to camera is so goofy.
Yeah,
it's like a it's so bad.
Why didn't he, as soon as he was on the view screen, go, "Can you take me off speakerphone?" Like, he should have bailed on that moment, and he didn't.
Yeah.
He's the admiral.
Yeah.
Hey, Jean-Luc, why don't we take this in the ready room?
He just looks like a dad who's like a real young dad and lives in the Hollywood Hills and maybe makes a little bit more money than your dad, even though your dad is 25 years older than him.
He really looks like tennis admiral.
He's too fucking young. Yeah. I don't like how young he is. I don't like seeing a younger man boss Jean-Luc Picard around.
It made me sad that a conspiracy involving admirals and the Enterprise didn't end with Admiral Kennelly's head being exploded by phaser fire. Which, yeah, is how I prefer conspiracies to conclude.
That's a great point, Adam.
My Shimoda occurs in the caves.
Mm.
If you recall, Ben, we have a Dustbuster Club that includes Picard, Data, Worf, and Troy.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a quiz question, Ben, and we're going to see if you can get this one right. Which of those crew members is not issued a phaser on a hostile planet?
Oh, man. It's got to be Data because he's so strong he can defend himself whether or not he's armed, right?
One would think, but no, it's Deanna Troi, who is on the planet for some reason, and is the only one in the Dustbuster Club who's not in the club.
Yeah. Oof.
That bummed me out.
Yeah.
If you're a senior officer, you have weapons training, right?
Yeah.
When you go to a hostile planet, you should be armed. I don't understand that.
God,
it's another one of the really subtle slights that they give her character and Dr. Crusher. Like, yeah. I think a lot of people don't notice that, but Jesus Christ, guys.
Yeah. Stop stepping on that rake, guys.
Yeah.
Darmok and Jalad and Tanagra.
I've got to fly cross-country to visit our buddy Adam Ragusea today, and there have already been 2 flight delays on the outbound. And as I watch the delays get longer and my travel day get thrown into a shambles, I'm remaining chill. There's nothing I can do but wait, and I'm making my waiting a little better with a microdose gummy. That's because microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help me feel just the right amount of good. We've all seen those videos of people going crazy on airplanes. Well, this isn't that kind of dose at all. This is the kind of dose that makes a long delay at an airport feel a little more bearable. There are all kinds of other uses, and if you've ever considered microdosing, I'd encourage you to give the products from Lumi Labs a try. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com using the promo code SCARVS. Now, these products are available nationwide, and that URL is microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVS. And with that, you can save 30% and free shipping. Again, that's microdose.com, and the promo code is SCARVS. What are the rituals you have in your life? For me, it's a coffee and a dog walk in the morning, a yoga or a Peloton ride after that, a scoop of fiber at night before bed, and at some point in the middle of the day, I take my ritual vitamins, a couple of Essential for Men, and a Symbiotic Plus for gut health. If I can do all those things, I'll feel like I'm doing a good job taking care of my body. Ritual is a science-backed multivitamin with 10 key ingredients. They are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Essential for Men is what I take, and it's a quality multivitamin from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scarves. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scarves for 25% off.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Do we have something more armed coming up for our next episode, Ben?
We have season 5, episode 4, Silicon Avatar, coming up. Picard struggles to communicate with a mysterious destructive force before a visiting scientist can destroy it. You remember this episode, Adam?
Anything involving scientists involves old scientists, as I recall.
Yeah.
And I think that's about all I that's all I care to share about what I may or may not remember about this.
This is one of your classic Revenge Grandma episodes.
Oh, I love Revenge Grandma.
Yeah.
This is Pamela Voorhees.
Are you going to employ a veto on this, or is that excitement genuine?
I have pure excitement. Brent Spiner was not fond of this installment, noting I didn't think it was a very good episode. And Michael Piller, producer, says the same thing. I don't think the show was as effective as I wish it could have been. Director Cliff Bollet rejected claims that the crew's attempts to communicate with the entity after all the destruction it had caused were mildly optimistic. Well, the director seems to really like his own work here, which I think is pretty consistent.
Patting himself on the back a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Meanwhile, the actors are, like, crossing their arms, embarrassed for their performance. Yeah, it sounds like a pretty split decision on the reception for the show. I'm into seeing it, though.
Yeah, well, we don't have much of a choice.
We do have a choice. We are abdicating that choice and choosing to watch.
We're going to save that choice for something worse.
It does get worse, doesn't it?
It always gets worse.
Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. If you'd like to talk about this episode or any of the others, you can wander on over to Twitter, where I'm on there as @CutForTime. Ben is there as @BenjaminR, AHR, and use the hashtag GreatestGen if you want to reach out to us or any of the other viewers who enjoy our program.
We also check in on the Greatest Gen subreddit and the Greatest Gen Facebook group. Both are real lively and fun places to get to know other people with similar interests to you. We should thank Dark Materia for our music and Adam Ragusea for our other music. You know, Adam Ragusea just started that new Billy Joel podcast. We didn't start the podcast. Do you know about this, Adam?
I do know about this. It is a podcast by people who are embarrassed to like Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Which is a theme I can really get behind.
Yeah, he gave us a little heads up that he was going to be borrowing some of our format for a new project. And we were like, absolutely, Adam Ragusea, you're one of the best in the biz.
Yeah, I've got no problem trading his original music for our approval of borrowing some bits.
Yeah.
So, fair trade.
Yeah, I gave a couple episodes a listen, and I enjoyed it immensely, even though I don't know anything about Billy Joel. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
So, don't let that be a barrier to your consumption.
Well, with that, we will be back at you next time with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and an episode of The Greatest Generation that's all about Rwenge. It's all about Omerta.
Make it so.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.